Welcome, welcome, everyone. This is Whiplash Talk. I am Sunshine, coming to you from a beautiful day in the United States. Thank you so much for joining me on Whiplash Talk today. Super excited to spend this hour with you and to just talk about life and how things are going. I'm believing great things for everyone out there all over the world. It's been a fun week. It's been an interesting week, but it's been a fun week. And I'm believing that everything that we're sensing out there, all of us that are sensing, we're sensing some pretty serious energies flowing around. But you know what? You have to sometimes go through it to get on top of it and to enjoy rule and reign. So I was focusing on what to talk about today, and I thought I would just give you another update of where I'm at. I actually have a new kitty. You might hear her in the background. She's about 7 weeks old. We're guessing 7 to 8 weeks old, and she's a calico, and we started, I had a previous calico that was named Peaches, and I thought, well, I can't name this one Peaches, but I thought, well, maybe I can name her another name for Peach in a different language, and that didn't work. So we brought her into the house, and my eight-year-old rescue, we're not sure about how old he is, was not really impressed. It was quite funny. And she's about 1.5 pounds when I got her, 1.6 pounds. And she charged him as fast as she could and stood up on her hind legs with her front paws spread as wide open as she could and like, rawr, at the older cat. And I thought, oh my goodness, she's like a little tank. So Panzer is kind of sticking. She might be like a little Panzer tank on attack. So we'll see what happens there. But two weeks ago, I talked to Q a little bit about some things that really stuck with me. And it talked about when someone passes, they really don't leave us. And that grief, we talked about grief. And as you guys know that have been with me since the beginning of Whiplash Talk, this show was actually birthed out of my grief process and going through what, as I say in air quotes with my fingers, air quotes, going through a dark night of the soul situation. It was birthed out of that when my mother passed away in January of 23, and then the man that was my partner for several years passed March 2024, the end of March 2024, this year. And it really sent me into a little bit of a tailspin. I think I even said on the air that I felt like I'd gone through a meat grinder, because at just about the time I got to where I could breathe again after the passing of my mother, I had to go through that process again with Bill. And Q brought up that grief was a very unique thing, and that it actually, you know, was a tool of, you know, the dark side or of the enemy. And I'm like, absolutely, it is not a good thing. And so we talked about that, and I focused on that a little bit afterwards. And as you guys know, I've read from Osho's book before, which if some of you guys don't know, that Q was also associated as part of Osho for part of Osho's life. And there's a book called Fear, Understanding and Accepting the Insecurities of Life. And in the book, it's talking about, well, on page 38, it talks about, and Osho is speaking, when I work with people in depth in therapy, three fears continually come up in them. It's the fear of going crazy. It's the fear of letting go in sexual orgasm, and the fear of dying. These three fears come up over and over again in my work. Can you please comment on this? I'm sorry, that was a question of somebody asking to Osho. And then Osho answers, it is really very significant and existential question. Humanity has lived in these three fears for thousands of years. They are not personal, they are collective. They come from the collective unconscious. And I thought, I'm just going to deviate from the book, I'll get right back to it, but I thought, this is really where we are right now, at least in what I'm observing and sensing and seeing, at least here in the United States, but I sense that it's going on all over the world and making connections with people in different countries. But the book goes on and it says, the fear of going crazy is in everyone for the simple reason that their intelligence has not been allowed to develop. Intelligence is dangerous to the vested interests. So for thousands of years, they have been cutting its very roots. And I thought that was so intriguing when it talks about for thousands of years, because as you guys know, that listen to Q, he talks about, you know, 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago at the ascension cycle, at the ascension process, and about how things are repeating. And I thought that is so interesting how that was worded. That, again, that intelligence is dangerous to the vested interests. So for thousands of years, they have been cutting its very roots. He goes on to explain in the book on page 39, in Japan, they have a certain type of tree that is thought to be a great art, but it is simply murder. The trees are 400, 500 years old and 6 inches high. Generations of gardeners have taken care of them. The technique is that the trees are put in a pot without any bottom. And they go on cutting the roots. They don't allow the roots of the trees to go into the earth. And when you don't allow the roots to go deeper, the tree simply grows old. It never grows up. It is a strange phenomenon to see that type of tree. It looks ancient, but it has only grown old, older and older. It has never grown up. It has never blossomed. It has never given any fruits. And it made me sit and ponder as I was reading this, because what I'm observing in the United States, I can only speak for the United States. What I'm observing is this big rift between the political parties, the left and the right, the more liberal and the more conservative. And the people that are possibly on the outside extreme edges of both parties, I would say might tend to meet this definition. They've never grown up. They've never got their roots deeply planted into substance. So they've never blossomed and they've never given any fruits. And it says, it goes on in the book and it says, that is exactly the situation of man. His roots are cut. Man lives almost uprooted. He has to be made uprooted so that he can become dependent on the society, on the culture, on the religion, on the state, on the parents, on everybody. He has to depend. He himself has no roots. The moment he becomes aware that he has no roots, he feels he is going crazy. He is going insane. He is losing every support. He is falling into a dark ditch. Because his knowledge is borrowed, it is not his own. His respectability is borrowed. He himself has no respect for his own being. His whole personality is borrowed from some source, maybe the university, the church, the state. He himself has nothing of his own. For those that are observing what's going on in the United States with the recent election that just passed and the previous leadership that was in office for 4 years, and then the one that is proposed to come into leadership in January. It's interesting to see the whole personality. I'm taking this from the book again. His whole personality is borrowed from some source, the university, the church, the state. The people that are so on the fringe, I would even say on both sides of the political parties, they appear to not have their own opinions. They appear to be just regurgitating maybe what, you know, the university or the church or the state or parties that have been funded by people that are trying to stir the pot. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to get too far into that. So the book goes on to say, just think of a man who lives in a grand palace with every conceivable luxury. And one day, suddenly, you make him aware that the palace does not belong to him. And neither do these luxuries belong to him. You tell him, they belong to somebody else who is coming, and you will be thrown out. He will go crazy. So in deep therapy, you will come across this point, and the person has to face it and allow it to go crazy. Allow the situation in the therapy that the person can go crazy. Once he goes crazy, he will drop the fear. Now he knows what craziness is. The fear is always of the unknown. Let him go crazy and he will soon calm down because there is no real base to this fear, to his fear. It is a fear projected by the society. So here in the United States and across the world as well, but I know the dates the best for the United States, January 2020 is when Wuhan hit. And all of a sudden, we started getting locked down for this strange virus going around, and everybody had to wear masks. Everybody had to do this, and jabs, and all of that stuff was going on. And it's like that line on page 40 of Fear, Understanding, and Accepting the Insecurities of Life by Osho. That line says it is a fear projected by the society. And it made me think of MK Ultra. And it made me think of, you know, our mainstream media and Hollywood and our theme parks, everything that has been out there to program society. They're projecting this fear, and it's controlling everyone that is not in tune to it, and a lot of people that have had to bust out of it and not even realize that they're in fear. And it goes on to talk about the parents say, quote, if you don't follow us, if you disobey, you will be condemned. And then it continues, the Jewish God says in the Talmud, says, I am a very jealous God, very angry God. Remember that I am not nice. I am not your uncle. All the religions have been doing it. And if you just leave the way that is followed by the mob, they will declare you crazy. So everybody goes on clinging to the crowd, remaining part of a religion, a church, a party, a nation, a race. The person is afraid to be alone, and that's what you are doing when you bring him to his own depths. All that crowd, all those connections disappear. He's left alone, and there is nobody else on whom he has always depended. He has nothing of his own intelligence. That is the problem. Unless he starts growing his own intelligence, he will always remain afraid of being crazy. Not only that, the society can make him crazy any moment. If the society wants to make him crazy, if that is in their favor, they will make him crazy. Continuing on in the book, in the Soviet Union, it used to happen almost every day. I am taking the example of the Soviet Union because they did it more scientifically, methodologically. It happens everywhere, all over the world, but their methods are very primitive. For example, in India, if a person behaves in a way that is not appropriate, he is made an outcast. He cannot get any support from anyone in the town. People will not even speak to him. His own family will close the doors in his face. The man is bound to go crazy. You are driving him crazy. But in Soviet Russia, they did it more methodologically, and they have done it to such people who were Nobel Prize winners, who had intelligence, but an intelligence that was always under control, under the supervision of the state. And just a single act of disobedience, because the person got the Nobel Prize and the Soviet government did not want them to have it, because that prize came from a capitalist world, and to the government, it seemed like bribery. This is how they purchased people. And these were the people who had all the secrets of science. They didn't want them to be world known. They didn't want them to be in contact with other scientists. They wouldn't allow them to accept the Nobel Prize. But if the person insisted, then the result was that he was put into a hospital. He goes on saying, quote, "I am perfectly healthy. Why am I being put in the hospital?" End quote. They say, "Because the doctors feel you are going to be sick. The early symptoms are there. You may not be aware." And they go on injecting the person. He knows nothing of what they are doing, and within 15 days, he is mad. Does that ring a bell with anybody besides me? They inject the person with chemicals, and then medical problems arise? Page 41, continuing. "They have made him mad through their chemicals, and when he is perfectly mad, then they produce him in the court saying, quote, 'This man is insane, and he should be removed from his job and should be sent into a mental asylum.' And then nobody ever hears what happened to those people." This is doing it scientifically, but every society has been doing it, and the fear has entered into very deep realms of the unconscious. The work of therapy is to make the person free of that fear. If he is free of that fear, he is free of society, free of culture, free of religion, free of God, heaven, hell, and all nonsense. All that nonsense is significant because of this fear. And to make that nonsense significant, the fear has been created. It is the ugliest crime one can think of. It is being done to every child around the world every moment, and the people who are doing it have no bad intentions. They think they are doing something for the good of the child. They have been conditioned by their parents, and they are transferring the same conditioning to their children. But basically, the whole humanity stands on the verge of madness. In deep therapy, the fear grips the person suddenly because he is losing all the props, supports. The crowd is disappearing farther and farther away. He is being left alone. Suddenly, there is darkness and there is fear. He has never been trained, disciplined for being alone.
And that is the function of meditation. No therapy is complete without meditation, because only meditation can give him his lost roots, his strength of being an individual. There is nothing to fear, but the conditioning is that you have to be afraid of each moment, each step. Just want to comment on meditation. As you guys all know, I am a Q follower and Q and Mermaid. And be careful with your meditation. Be guarded, be protected. Do your commands. Just stick with your commands and stay with your commands and be careful, because as you can see, it's very manipulative out there. Not trying to sow fear, but just be wise on how you focus your energies for your strength and for your growth. Back to the book, page 42. The whole humanity lives in paranoia. This humanity could have lived in paradise. It is living in hell. So help the person to understand that this is nothing to be worried about. There is nothing to be afraid of. It is a created fear. Every child is born fearless. He can play with snakes with no fear. The child has no idea of fear or death or anything. Meditation brings the person back to his childhood. He is reborn. So help the person understand why the fear exists. Make it clear that it is a phony phenomenon imposed upon him. So there is no need to be worried in this situation. You can go crazy. Don't be afraid. Enjoy that for the first time you have a situation in which you can be crazy and yet not condemned, but loved, respected. And the group has to respect the person, love the person. He needs it, and he will cool down. And he will come out of the fear with a great freedom, with great stamina, strength, and integrity. I'm going to go ahead and read about the other two fears, because I believe it's very helpful, very beneficial. The second one is having to do with sexual orgasm. So if there are little ones around, maybe it would be a good time to take them or turn off the radio and listen to the recording later. But I really believe this is very beneficial. It was a very, very good writing, and it is spot on. So I'm giving you a little bit of time to maybe reposition the little ones, or decide to turn it off and come back and listen later. Don't forget to come back and listen at 3 o'clock for Being Inspired with Q. It's going to be a good show. So let's go ahead and pick this up. It says the second fear is of sexual orgasm. That too is created by religions. All religions exist because they have turned man against his own energies. Sex is man's whole energy, his life energy. And religious prophets and messiahs, messengers of God, they are all doing the same work in different words, different languages, but their work is the same: to make man an enemy of himself. And the basic strategy, because sex is the most powerful energy in you, is that sex should be condemned, guilt should be created. Then a problem arises for the individual. His nature is sensuous, sexual, and his mind is full of garbage against it. He is in a split. I'm going to stop here and hold my spot. This is that total duality that Q continually talks about and teaches on, about how you have source in you, and the more that we become enlightened about the light in us, the more we see the duality of the physical side of us versus the spiritual or the source side of us. And I've talked about, I think on the last show even, I talked about how, maybe it was on Being Inspired with Q, how you have to really focus on slaying the natural physical persona, the body. You have to focus on slaying that and knocking that one down a notch or two to be able to focus on strengthening the source in you. because that is really the true you. The physical earth suit or body that you're wearing is not the true you. Source in you is the true you. So it's talking about this push-pull duality that man is having. And it says, again, he is in a split. Continuing on page 43. Neither can he drop his nature, nor can he drop the mind, because dropping the mind means dropping the society, the religion, the prophet, Jesus Christ and God, everything. He is not capable to do that unless he has become an individual and is able to be alone without any fear. So man is afraid of sex as far as his mind is concerned, but his biology has nothing to do with the mind. The biology has not received any information from the mind. There is no communication. The biology has its own way of functioning. So the biology will draw him towards sex, and his mind will be standing there continuously condemning him. So he makes love, but in a hurry. That hurry has a very psychological reason. The hurry is that he is doing something wrong. He is doing something against God, against religion. He is feeling guilty, and he cannot manage not to do it. So the only compromise is to do it, but be quick. That avoids the orgasm. Now, there are implications upon implications. A man who has not known orgasm feels unfulfilled, frustrated, angry, because he has never been in a state which nature provides freely, where he could have relaxed totally and become one with existence, at least for a few moments. Because of his hurry, he cannot manage the orgasm. Sex has become equivalent to ejaculation. That is not true as far as nature is concerned. Ejaculation is only a part, which you can manage without orgasm. You can reproduce children, so biology is not worried about your orgasm. Your biology is satisfied if you reproduce children, and they can be reproduced only by ejaculation. There is no need for orgasm. Orgasm is a tremendous gift of nature. Man is deprived, and because he is so quick in making love, the woman is also deprived. The woman needs time to warm up. Her whole body is erotic, and unless her whole body is throbbing with joy, she will not be able to experience orgasm, for that there is no time. So for millions of years, women have been completely denied their birthright. That's why they have become... I'm glad we're on BBS radio. That's why they have become so bitchy, so continuously nagging, always ready to fight. There is no possibility of having a conversation with a woman. You are living with a woman for years, but there is not a single conversation that you can recall when you both were sitting together talking about great things of life. No, all that you will remember will be the fighting, throwing things, being nasty. But the woman is not responsible for it. She's being deprived of her whole possibility of blissfulness. Then she becomes negative. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading the book, but it is speaking truth. So, fear, understanding and accepting the insecurities of life by Osho. We're now going on to top of page 45. So it talks about you are depriving her whole possibility of blissfulness. Then she becomes negative. And this has given a chance. And this has given a chance to the priests. All the churches and the temples are filled up with women because they are the losers more than the men. Man's orgasm is more local. His whole body is not erotic. So his whole body does not suffer any damage if there is no orgasmic experience. But the woman's whole body suffers. But it is good business for religions. Unless people are psychologically suffering, they will not come to the churches. They will not listen to all kinds of idiotic theologies. And because they are suffering, they want some consolation. They want some hope, at least after death and life. They know there is no hope. It is finished. This gives a chance to religions to show men and women both that sex is absolutely futile. It has no meaning, no meaning, no significance. You are unnecessarily losing your energy, wasting your energy. And their argument seems to be correct because you have never experienced anything. So by preventing the orgasmic experience, religions have made men and women slaves. I'm going to stop there for a second. So for those of you that have been on my show for a while and have been listening, you know, I've talked about, you know, we live on the farm, you know, under the dome, and that we basically are, you know, farm animals, that we're slaves, and that we have been for thousands of years. And it's just so interesting that when this book was written, just the way Q, Osho just kept throwing in little pieces here and there to try to open the eyes of people to get them to see and understand years and years ago what's going on. So start the sentence again. So by preventing the orgasmic experience, religions have made men and women slaves. Now the same slavery functions for other vested interests. The latest priest and the psychoanalyst now, he's exploiting the same thing. I was amazed to know that almost all new priests, particularly Christians, study psychology in their theological colleges. Psychology and psychoanalysis have become a necessary part of their education. Now, what has psychology to do with the Bible? What has psychoanalysis to do with Jesus Christ? They are being trained in psychology and psychoanalysis because it is clear that the old priest is disappearing, losing his grip over people. The priest has to be brought up to date so he can function not only as a religious priest, but also as a psychoanalyst psychologist. Naturally, the psychologist cannot compete with him. He has something more, religion. But this whole thing has happened through a simple device of condemning sex. So when in your therapy groups you find people fearing orgasm, help them to understand. This is Osho speaking to the counselors. Help them to understand that orgasm is going to make you more sane, more intelligent, less angry, less violent, more loving. Orgasm is going to give you your roots, which have been taken away from you. So don't be worried and mixed into the fear in orgasm. And mixed into the fear in orgasm will be the fear that one may go crazy. If in orgasm one goes crazy, help him to go crazy. Only then he will be able to have it in its totality. But the orgasm relaxes every fiber of your mind, your heart, your body. It is immensely important for meditation that a person has the experience of orgasm. Then you can help him understand what meditation is. It is an orgasmic experience with the whole existence. If the orgasm can be so beautiful and so beneficial, so healthy, with just a single human being, meditation is getting into oneness with the whole that surrounds you, from the smallest blade of grass to the biggest star millions of years away. Once he experiences this, the question is always the first experience. Once he knows it, that the craziness was not craziness, but a kind of explosion of joy, and that cools down and leaves him healthier, more whole, more intelligent, then the fear of orgasm has disappeared. And with it, he is finished with the religion, with the psychoanalysis and all kinds of nonsense, for which he is paying so tremendously. The third fear we're going to talk about is death. And on the show, on Being Inspired with Q 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Whiplash Talk was started. And as I mentioned earlier, Q was talking about grief and about how it's an odd thing and how it's kind of used against us. And this was really good because The third fear is, the third fear, let me just go on, let me just read. It says, the third fear, you say, is of death. The first is of being alone. Much of the fear of death will be destroyed by the first experience of being alone and having no fear. The remaining fear of death will be immediately destroyed by the experience of orgasm, because in the orgasm, the person disappears. The ego is no more. There is an experiencing, but the experiencer is no more. These first two steps will help to solve the third step very easily. And with each step, you have to go on deepening the person's meditativeness. And therapy without meditation cannot help much. It is just superficial, touching here and there, and soon the person will be the same again. A real transformation has never happened without meditation. And these are beautiful situations as far as meditation is concerned. So use the first to make the person alone. Use the first to make the person alone. Use the second to give him courage and tell him to drop all thoughts, just go crazily, orgasmic. Don't bother what happens. We are here to take care of you. With these two steps, the third will be very easy. That is the easiest. It looks like the biggest fear of man. It is not true. You don't know death. How can you be afraid of it? You have always seen other people dying. You have never seen yourself dying. Who knows? Maybe you are the exception, because there is no proof that you are going to die. Those who have died have given proof that they were mortals. When Q and I, and I'm stopping in the book for a second, when Q and I were talking on Being Inspired with Q 2 weeks ago, he really helped confirm something that I'd been working through on with grief, and that really we focus on the physical body and we don't focus on the source. And source never dies. And so people are afraid of death because of maybe what happens to the body, what happens to the soul or the source, or what happens, you know, I'm going to be alone. Will I see them again? And that is where I was with my mom and with Bill, my partner, because I was close, very, very close to both. And so I miss them. And Q really helped me 2 weeks ago by pointing out I didn't lose them. They're just in a different reality. They're still here. They'll always be here. And so that was really good. And so those who have died have given proof that they were mortals. And we're talking about the physical body. And then the book continues, when I was in the university and learning logic from my professor, in every logic book and every university around the world, syllogism is being taught. Man is mortal. Socrates is man. Therefore, Socrates is mortal. And when I was taught for the first time, I stood up and I said, wait, I may be the exception. Up to now, I have been the exception. Why not tomorrow? About Socrates, I accept this is true. Excuse me, because he is dead. But what about me? What about you? What about all these people who are living? They have not died yet. Experiencing death, people dying in disgust and misery and suffering and all kinds of pain, old age, that gives you the fear of death. Nobody has known the death of an enlightened man. How beautifully he dies, how joyously he dies. The moment of his death is of tremendous luminosity, silence, as if joy is radiating from every pore of his being. Those who are near him, those who have been fortunate to be near him, will be simply surprised that death is far more glorious than life has ever been. But this kind of death happens only to people who have lived totally without fear, who have lived orgasmically, without bothering about idiots and what they are saying. They know nothing about it, and they go on talking about it. The fear of death will be the simplest out of the three. You have to solve the first two, and then you tell the person that death is not the end of life. If you meditate deeply and reach into your innermost center, you will suddenly find an eternal life current. The bodies, there have been many. There have been many forms to your being, but you are just the same. But it has to be not just a belief. It has to be made their experience. So remember one thing. Your therapy group should not be ordinary therapy. Just somehow whitewashing and giving a man a feeling that he has learned something. He has experienced something, and after a week or two, he is the same. There is not a single person in the whole world who is totally psychoanalyzed. And there are thousands of psychoanalysts doing psychoanalysis, and not a single case they have been able to complete yet, for the simple reason because they have nothing to do with meditation. And without meditation, you can go on painting on the surface, but the inner reality remains the same. Osho continues on page 49. My therapists have to introduce meditation as the very center of therapy, and everything else should revolve around it. Then we have made therapy something really valuable. Then it is not only the need of those who are sick or of those who are somehow mentally unbalanced or of those who feel fears, jealousies, violence. This is a negative part of therapy. Our therapy should be that we give the person his individuality back. We give him his childhood and innocence back. That we give him integrity, crystallization, so that he never fears death. And once the fear of death disappears, all other fears are very small. They will follow it. They will simply disappear. And we have to teach people how to live totally and wholly against the teachings of all the religions. They teach renounce. I teach rejoice. This is out of the book Fear, Understanding and Accepting the Insecurities of Life by Osho. I know that was a lot of reading, but I really felt that that was something that, at least here in the United States, for the recent election, the last 4 years of leadership, looking forward to the next 4 years under new leadership, the challenges, the serious challenges that we're facing with our country, and with the very foundation of our Constitution being jeopardized and being threatened. I really felt that coming back to the subject of fear and that it's programming, and that especially those of us that are listening on BBS Radio, most of us are probably a little more in tune to, as Q would say, going within. Go within. Seek inside of you your source and work on being grounded, both going within, but also kick your shoes off, go outside and get grounded. Literally ground yourself with planet Earth. I encourage you to take a little time to, sometimes you have to retreat to advance. And those of us that listen to Q, I really believe that we're all star beings, and that we're here for a reason, that we came for this purpose. And just because this election result happened, doesn't mean that we are still not in a pretty serious battle. And for anybody to think that, yay, we've won and we can relax, now is the time to press in and to press forward and to fight. Because those that are here to keep us suppressed and to keep us held down and to keep us as farm animals, as I would say, are not going to go down without a fight. And they are absolutely ridiculously wicked not to scare or to instill fear, as I teach on it, but to let you know, step up into who you are, tap into who you are, go within and find your inner strength and work on. You know, I've always said on my show, energy flows where attention goes. So put your intentions out there on what you want for planet Earth. We want planet Earth healthy and whole. I don't want to be in a jello bowl anymore. I don't want to be on the farm anymore. So instead of focusing on the negative, focus on the positive. I am so excited putting my intentions out there. I'm so excited about where we're going with Ascension and about the connections I'm making. And, you know, with my mom passing and with Bill passing, I really thought that I was so alone, but I'm not alone. I have star family and I have people that I am connected with that I'm twin flames with I'm a twin flame with so many people that's exciting to me. So I just encourage you to focus on putting your attention out there, you know, where you want your energy to flow. Don't focus on the negative. Don't focus on what previous leadership has done or possibly, you know, what might be going on with the metals market or anything like that. Focus your energy, focus your attention where you want your energy to go. So I don't know, what time is it? Oh yeah, we're doing okay. So I've got probably maybe about 8 more minutes or so to work on some stuff here. And I really want to encourage you, I didn't really get to talk about it, but make sure you go check out forthepeople.space. They've got some new stuff up that's really good that will help you keep up with the current things that are going on and the focus and where to maybe even help you focus your attention so your energy will flow collectively together as all of us focus on where forthepeople.space is guiding us to go. I have a book that I love, and I've used it a lot. It's The Writings of Florence Scovel Shinn, and it's 4 of her books: The Game of Life, Your Word is Your Wand, The Power of the Spoken Word, and The Secret Door to Success. It also includes her bibliography as well. But there's some affirmations in here that are really good. And in the Bible, you know, a lot of you know that I was raised, you know, in a Christian faith. And so there's a scripture that says faith without works is dead. And I love that she took that, and in her words of wisdom, her affirmation is faith without nerve is dead. NERVE, faith without nerve is dead. And I'm like, oh, that is fabulous. So I just want to leave you with that. Just focus on, you know, put your faith out there, but put some nerve behind it. You know, put your nerve out there. And so when you're focusing your attention where you want your energy to go, maybe it's working on your homesteading project. Maybe it's focusing on timelines and trying to figure out how to get off a timeline that you seem to constantly be on. Faith without nerve is dead. Put it out there. You know, step out of that comfort zone. And, you know, she also says, never look or you'd never leap. So don't look, just leap. Take that faith, take that leap of faith. So I just want to encourage you guys, have a great 2 weeks. Stay tuned. I'm getting ready to close out, maybe a little early, we'll see. But coming up next is Being Inspired with Q, and I was so honored last week. I didn't really get to tell you guys, but at the very last minute, right before I went on the air, I was asked to join Q and to interview him, and we had such a fun time. And so I encourage you guys, if you missed last 2 weeks ago, Being Inspired with Q, go check it out and see if there's something in there for you, because I believe every time we do these shows, there's something in these shows going out for the people, because we do this spirit-led, source-led, to feed you and to nurture you and to admonish you to grow and be who you are and learn who you are and like aloha, you know, just shine your light, be who you are, and people will be drawn to that in you. I've had people come up to me that don't even know me. I've had people say, "Are you always this positive?" I'm like, it kind of caught me off guard. I'm like, well, I guess so. Are you always this happy? Well, I guess, well, no, you know, I have some down times, but people see source in you. And as raw, what, you know, we are drawn to the light, we are drawn to the sun, we are drawn to Ra. Well, that source is in you. And so people are drawn to that. So use that and work that for their advantage to help them possibly join us on ascension. And so we go on further. I'm sure there are other light beings out there that have not really truly tapped into who they are. So let's go find them. Let's shine our lights. Well, everybody, I've got about 7 minutes to the top of the hour, and if it's okay with BBS Radio, I think I will end just a few minutes early and get ready for the next show. I have the honor, I have been invited to be on Being Inspired with Q again, so I'm going to sign off for just a few minutes, go get a glass of water, and I'll see you guys back at the top of the hour with Q, and I hear Mermaid might be joining too. All right, guys, I love you, love you, love you. I am so, so thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for your support and love and kind words. Have a great 2 weeks, and I will be back with Whiplash Talk in 2 weeks. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.